Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. We should understand the Word of God, but there's more to it than that. Because again, the Spirit of God dwells in you. God Himself, Jesus Himself, by the Spirit, lives in you. And when you read the Bible, there's something wonderful that happens on the inside, supernatural that happens on the inside. You begin to understand the things of God. He convicts you of sin. You know, we understand that in a secular context, you rob a bank or whatever, and you go, and the judge and the jury convict you, and then you end up in jail. You're convicted. You've been found to have done wrong. Well, if you think in bad thoughts, the Spirit of God, if He dwells within you, will convict you and say, look, that's wrong. You're not going to go to jail. I understand all of that. You're not going to lose your salvation for looking at that girl, but God in your heart will speak to you and say, hey, you know, that's not right. You need to stop. Sanctification and holiness. He changes you. He changes you. Again, I said it a while ago. Before I was a Christian, I used to end up in all kind of places I shouldn't. The moment I got saved, I knew I was free. Didn't have to go back to the bars. He changed me. Old man is gone, and the new man has come. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's when you get saved. But then there's a process. Because Jesus comes to live in your heart, there's a process. And He continually shows you, hey, you know, you shouldn't do that. And hey, you ought to do this instead. But it's a washing, a cleansing that takes place. But it's the washing of the water by the Word. The Word of God will cleanse your heart. The Word of God will make things right in your heart. Sanctification. 1 Peter, we talked about the men, let's talk about the women. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. That's something we don't hear about much today. That's not what the world wants. Nobody does that anymore, I suppose, but that's what the Bible says. Wives should be in subjection to their own husbands. That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation. In other words, your holy lifestyle coupled with fear. You live right and you fear God, you can win your husband. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. It's good that women dress nice and look nice, but you know, it's not about that. It's not about all the styles and fashions and, you know, going to make sure that when you go to work that you don't look inferior to the other women or something like that. It's not about that. Now, you need to dress nice. I understand that. But that's not what it's about. Because the next verse, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. You can have good haircut, good hairstyle. You can have nice clothes, that's fine. But God is concerned about the hidden man of the heart. He's concerned about the heart. You can have a nice suit of clothes, a nice hairstyle, and best perfume and all of that stuff, and have gossip and envy in your heart. You may be stealing while they're not looking out the till or something. You can look nice on the outside, but what are you doing on the inside? Well, you can have the best you can afford is blue jeans. Can't afford to get a nice haircut. Got to go to Fantastic Sam's or something like that. But you can be, what does it say, a meek and quiet spirit. You can be humble and polite. You can be kind and compassionate, women. And it says, which in the sight of God is of great price. That's what God, he doesn't care about your hairstyle, he doesn't care. Men look on the outward part, but God looks on the heart, it says. That's the important thing. Get your hairstyle, fine, great, but you need to make sure your heart is right. That's the important thing. And again, it's by the washing of water by the Word. You get in the Word of God. You stick your nose in the book. You read the Bible. You try and study it. Try to understand it. Go to Bible study or whatever you have to do, but try to understand the Word of God, and God cleanses you on the inside. And you'll find that maybe the jokes that you used to like, you don't like no more. Maybe the stories of what they did on Friday and Saturday night, you really don't fit in no more. He changes you when you come to God. And as you live for Him, and as you study the Word of God, He changes you even more. Which in the sight of God is of great price, it says. You need to have your eyes and your mind and your heart on the things of heaven, because that's your destination. You get your eyes somewhere else and you may not make it. But there's an inward washing. In John chapter 13, starting in verse 2, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." And we know this story. "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God." In other words, we know that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, was put in her by the Spirit of God. She became pregnant, but had never been with a man. That's a miracle. And I could chase that rabbit and we could have a good time. But he came from God. And we know that after he was crucified, rose from the dead, that he, in Acts chapter 1, rose up and went back to heaven. He was come from God and he went back to God. "He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that he poureth water into a basin," or a laver, I suppose, "and began to wash the disciples' feet, and they wiped them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do now thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter said, Thou shalt never wash my feet," as he was embarrassed, as anyone would be, that Jesus come from heaven, God come in the flesh, would take off his nice robe and put a towel around himself and wash the disciples' feet. You know, he's Lord. We ought to serve Jesus Christ, but he served us. And there's a lot here. He laid aside his garments. In the Greek, it's the kenosis of Christ, kanao. You can go to Philippians chapter 2 and read about it, how he laid aside his divinity and what have you, took upon himself the form of the man, and etc. God from heaven stooping down and doing, in this context, the work of slaves. Man had house, chariot, and all that stuff, and workers, and whatever. He would come home from work, and one of the servants would take his sandals off and wash the master's feet. And yet the master here is washing the disciples' feet. Doesn't make any sense, but that's what God did. And he turns around and says, yeah, I washed your feet. Why don't you go wash somebody else's? In other words, humble yourself. Don't think of yourself any more highly than you ought to think. Well, I'm the preacher, I'm the pastor, I'm the deacon. Well, so what? You ought to be a servant. Deacon means servant, don't it? But Peter said, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered and said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. But look at this verse 10. Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And then he talks about Judas, and you were clean, but not all. Let me read that again. Jesus said, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet. He that's washed in the blood. He that has his sins washed away by trusting in Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary. He's washed. He's positionally sanctified. He's in Christ. But then it says you got to wash your feet. Now we understand that probably the feet and the hands and who knows what else, maybe, I don't know where the blood would have splashed under the priest, but he had to go to that brazen laver and wash. And here Jesus, and it calls back to that brazen laver. He's washing the disciples' feet. But the first verse we read in Exodus chapter 28, it says that the women came and brought their brass mirrors, and they took it and melted it down or whatever and made or fashioned or fabricated this brass lavatory. Again, it was made out of mirrors. The Spirit of God cleans us up on the inside. He washes us as we read the Word of God. But it's made of mirrors. The Bible is made of mirrors. Now you got a pimple or whatever, and you go in front of the mirror and you try and pop it or cover it up or whatever the deal is. You can't see your face unless you get in front of a mirror. But when you look in the mirror, you can see what's going on. Or maybe you get a little gray trying to find it, or trim your mustache, or whatever the deal. But you need a mirror. When you read the Bible, and you're washed by the water of the Word, the Bible is made of mirrors. You read it, and you find things wrong in your heart. Thou shalt not covet. Oops. Thou shalt not steal. Well, I guess I need to put them paper clips back, or whatever the case. Thou shalt not, what have you. You look and you see in the mirror, Holy Bible, the things in your heart that are wrong. Or you realize, man, last week I shouldn't have told that guy off or cut that guy off coming out the Burger King or whatever. Man, I need to be kind to people. I need to be patient and etc. You read the mirror and it shows you things wrong with your heart and your life. Do you understand? You know, people make a lot of comments and they mock Christians and what have you, but it's a supernatural thing. It's a hidden thing that non-Christians don't understand, but when you read the Word of God, it does something in your heart. And when you begin to yield to God and say, okay, Lord, I know I did wrong. I want to do right. And as we read, the wives, if they live right, they have a meek and humble spirit. And God says it's of great price to him. It matters to him when you get your heart right and you begin to treat others in a kind fashion and what have you. Patience or whatever, pick a virtue. It matters to him. It's of great importance to him. It's worth all the gold in heaven to him if his children down here can live right. And again, it's by the reading of the Word of God. Let me hit another one. Let me breeze through it, I guess. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll just jump to the chase, but he lists all these different sins and sinners and what have you. But in verse 11, and such were some of you. And I can testify, I was one of them. I was a sinner. Did all kind of things that weren't right, but ye are washed, he says. But you were sanctified. But you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. He does something in us. He washes us and cleanses us. And again, it's of great price to God when he sees that work accomplished in you. 1 John chapter 1. Look at verse 6 through 10. I suppose if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. Well, I come to church every Sunday. They see me, but I'm out there smoking dope behind the church or, you know, on Wednesday or Friday or whatever. You say that you have fellowship with him, but you're walking in darkness. We lie and do not the truth. You live in a lie if you come sit in a pew or sing in the choir, but you're out there smoking cigarettes after church. You're living a lie. Shouldn't be. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, this wonderful verse, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And again, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. We make God a liar. And his word, apparently, is not in us. Because if you read the mirror, you look in the mirror, you stick your nose in the book, you look in the mirror, and he'll show you the things that are wrong in your heart, the sins, the hidden sins would have you. Perhaps that's so easily beset us. He shows us. But if you say, well, that's not me. I'm not a sinner. You're a liar. And you're making God a liar. And his word is not on your heart. What did David say? I believe it was, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. But daily Bible reading. We know the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You can look in the book of John. There's a number of symbols that point to Jesus Christ. One of them is bread. He said, I'm the bread of life. And we're going to talk about when we get into the tabernacle, when we talk about the table of showbread. But he was also in that chapter in John referencing the manna that came down from heaven. So the word of God is bread to us. It's a mirror, it's water, it's a number of things, but it's also bread. It feeds our souls. And again, forgive us our debts. There's the sanctification. As we look in the mirror, we find things wrong and we say, okay, I agree, Lord. Or maybe we come to an old-fashioned altar at church and say, Lord, forgive me this sin. And maybe the pastor will come pray or something like that with you. But give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread. You ought to read the Bible every day. Exodus chapter 16, it talks about the manna that came down from heaven. Manna meaning what? What is it? Because they had never seen it before. But in verse 13, again in Exodus chapter 16, and it came to pass that even as the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground, some little thing. After the dew evaporated, what was left was this thing. They didn't know what it was. And the children of Israel saw it and said, it is manna, for they didn't know what it was. And Moses said, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, he did give every day, and he commanded to gather it, gather the right amount for you. I'm just skimming through it. Every day, go out and gather the right amount, except on the day before the Sabbath, because they couldn't work on the Sabbath, and he gathered twice as much, and it was enough. But it says that every man, he went out and gathered, and he went when he went home and cooked it for that day or ate it, he had just enough. He didn't have too little, and he didn't have too much. But every day, God gave manna, bread from heaven, every day, for 40 years, every day in the desert, every day, every day, every day. And it sustained them for 40 years. Give us this day our daily bread. You should read the Word of God because it will sustain you from now until the time you go on home. Lamentations, Jeremiah said in chapter 3, verse 21, this I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The goodness of God, the wonderfulness of God, the faithfulness and long-suffering and all these different attributes, I could say, of God. They're new every morning. Why? Because you ought to be sticking your nose in the book every morning, looking in the mirror and getting ready for your day. Or whenever you read, I don't care, morning, afternoon, whenever you get a chance, but you should read the Word of God every day because it helps you. And you'll see the great faithfulness and what have you, the compassions and his mercy and etc. You'll see it. The mirror shows you the things that are wrong, but it also shows you the things with him that are right. What does it say? Beholding the head, that's Jesus Christ. We ought to behold and look at the head and look steadfastly at Jesus Christ and forget. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim. What does the song say? If you look at God. And how do you learn about God? Well, you read his word. You read the Bible. You know, I could go all in so many different chapters and psalms, and I could have done a lot of study and got bogged down, I guess, but let's just do this. Well, let me say that Acts chapter 6, verse 4, the great apostle, really, all of the apostles, they said, you know, there's a lot of work to do in the church and whatever, and they appointed Stephen and the other deacons and etc. And y'all go do that stuff and whatever. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer. It's another thing you ought to do every day. And to the ministry of the Word. Now, certainly they taught and preached the Word of God, but they studied it continually. They studied the Word of God and prayed continually. That's something we ought to do, to study the Word of God and pray every day, if possible. But Psalm chapter 1, we all know this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. God says, the man that lives for God and not like everybody else, he's blessed. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, the Word of God. And in his law, in the Bible, doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You want your life to go right? Then live for God. Live for him daily. Have a lifestyle of living for God. Have a habit of praying and reading the Bible, attending church, what have you. But have a lifestyle of being around the things of God. But he goes on and says, if you don't, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. talks about that tree. If you get planted by the rivers of water, if you have a tree, maybe you don't have a river, but you've got a tree in your yard or whatever, and it's dry in the summertime, it's probably a good thing to water that thing if you want it to grow, and shrubs and whatever. If you want them to survive in the summertime, you have to water them. Even the grass, sometimes you have to water it, or it won't grow. You should read the Bible every day and let it wash you. Let it nourish you. Let it cleanse you. And if you don't, and you wither up and dry up and you're cold, and you may lose your way. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. We're glad to hear it. I pray that you'd help us, God. Please minister to our hearts, and please encourage us in the things of God, and we give you praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.